Behold the voice of God.
For those of you who don't know me officially, my name is Amanda Waller.
And I am Aaron Mosh, your host of Task Force X.
What, are we some kind of suicide squad?
Well, yeah, that and...
Checkmate.
Task Force X is a podcast that tells the stories of John Ostrander's Suicide Squad and Paul Kupperberg's Checkmate from the late 80s, early 90s.
I want to build a team of some bad people who can do some good.
And that's what Suicide Squad is. While Checkmate is a team of good people doing some good, my mission here is to chronicle each and every title in all the books that Suicide Squad and Checkmate appeared in during that era.
We're the U.S. government. You're going to start a blog and expose us?
Well, a blog and a headcast, Amanda.
Those scumbags are trying to screw me.
Not at all, Amanda. Just trying to help everyone else discover the joy of the Suicide Squad and Checkmate. Anywho, hope you guys have as much fun with these comics as I did when I first read them. Oh, so many years ago.
Mother...
That's enough of that, Amanda. Let's go and start the show.
I didn't believe the stories.
Nobody does.
Remember, I'm watching.
I see everything.
Hey there, squad mates. This is Brother Head coming at you. I know there's been a couple month hiatus, and I apologize for that. Between just family and my depression and everything else, I got delayed a little bit, but I am back. So... last we left, we'd finished off with Checkmate, so now we're just looking at Suicide Squad. This month we're going to look at one issue. I may be changing that and looking at two issues in the future, but for now we're going to look at the very next issue of Checkmate, which is finishing up another storyline. This is issue 47 of Suicide Squad. The cover date on this was November of 1990. The on-sale date was October the 2nd of 1990. Cover price was $1. The title of this was called Choice of Dooms. Written, as always, by the wonderful John Ostrander and the beautiful Kim Yale. Artist was Jeff Isherwood. Letterer, Todd Klein. Colorist, Tom J. McCraw. And the cover credits was by Jeff Isherwood. The editor on this was Dan Raspler. And this was reprinted in Suicide Squad, The Phoenix Gambit, trade paperback in 2017. So now that we got that out of the way, let's go ahead and take a look at the actual issue itself. As usual, I will start off the cover. The cover, we see, I believe that's supposed to be Cobra fighting Ravon. Because again, on the cover it says Ravon versus Cobra. To the death. Ravon has a Cobra tattoo, it looks like, on his forehead that's kind of glowing. Or maybe it's scarred up. He's also, it looks like Cobra's holding a Cobra staff. And again, this is Cobra with a K, not to be confused with G.I. Joe's Cobra.
Cobra!
Oh, sorry. yeah, not to be confused with the other Cobra. This is Cobra with a K. But overall, not a bad cover. Not a great one. It's not really a memorable cover. I would probably give it a 3 out of 5. I say it's not bad. It's got some great dynamics to it. In fact, maybe I'd even go 3.5. Because again, unlike over on the Long Box Crusade Network, we don't mind havesies here. But so for the issue proper itself, let's get started. We pick up where we left off. A couple of scorpions was attacking the Atom. So at this issue, it starts out, we got the Atom leaping out of the hole in the ceiling with a scorpion close behind him. Cobra looking up at him saying, "Fill the sting with Cobra, gnat, and die." A nice opening page, I think. A splash page. Just a one panel page. Showing the Atom leaping out at Cobra. We get an overhead shot of Cobra looking upward towards the Atom. Very nice shot here. And then we get the Atom. He's doing into like a cannonball. Or spin. Goes down. Uses his feet to kick Cobra in the face and flies away. Thinking about how he's got to get to the Waller. Because he's the only one on their side that knows the plan that Cobra's going with, and they need to stop him. And as the Atom leaps outside of the cage, Cobra, you know, he says that, you know, even bars can't contain the Avatar chaos, and he flicks his hand and the doors fly open as he says, "Open sesame." And so again, the Atom sees the security cameras and, you know, and he's like, "Yeah, pick me up right here, spread the alarm." And when the alarm's not going off, he realizes that Daibuk, whatever, the computer creature thing, Jin, that was talking to Cobra is actually keeping things hushed so security is not alerted to Cobra escaping. So again, Ray's picking up the Atom is picking up the phone And again, I'm still covering the Power of the Atom over on my Head Speaks podcast. So I keep referring to this Atom as Ray, even though we saw Palmer, his apartment or building, whatever he was in, explode here a couple issues ago. So please forgive me if I keep referring to this Atom as Ray. It's just, again, Ray's my favorite Atom. And again, I'm covering that on another podcast. So my brain sometimes doesn't make the connection that we're talking about. Possibly a different Atom. And so he's got on the phone trying to get a hold of Waller. And he's like banging on the desk like, damn it, answer the phone. It's the end of the world and you're not there. And as Cobra comes up behind the Atom with a staff, it's starting to glow so he can attack him. Ravon comes running out from behind him. Kale! And as I said on the cover, Ravon has a Cobra insignia on his forehead. And this is where he gets it from. Cobra uses the staff and just bonks him in the head with it, which gives him the mark on his forehead, as we're going to see here in a few minutes. And again, as Ravon and Cobra's fighting, Cobra throws Ravon into some file cabinet, knocking things over. About this time, Waller picks up, quick, this had better be good, Boomer Butt. And the Atom's like, emergency, clear way, coming through, and shrinks down and does the old Atom going through the phone line bit. Very nice. I always love when the Atom goes to the phone line. As he said in the issue of the Atom I just covered, or Power of the Atom I just covered, that's a standard mode of transportation, at least for now. I mean, nowadays with cell phones and satellites and all that digital signals, I don't know if he could do that because he's mentioned in the past going through satellites is hard for him and it hurts and it scrambles a signal. So we'll see if that ever happens in the books. And so as the Atom goes flying through the phone lines, Cobra is, talking about how he's infected Ravon with his venom and the venom's going to kill him. And I like this. Ravon's laying there. And here we can clearly see the in quotes, tattoo on his forehead of the snake head of the Cobra insignia. And he's like, it does not matter, evil one. We will walk hand in hand through the gates of hell. You die with me. And as Atom comes, and then we cut over to Amanda Waller's room where Atom comes flying out of the phone. Lord, you don't give a body much warning to get out of the way. What's the skinny? And so the Atom lets her know what's going on, that she was right about Cobra, allowing himself to be captured. He wanted to seduce their sentient computer, Daibuk. And he lets them know that Daibuk's controlling the fights from Israel, sent him to destroy Islam's third holiest shrine, the Dome of the Rock. And we get an overhead shot showing the planes headed that way. And I will say this, like I say, this has the average inking and coloring that we have normally in the Suicide Squad book, more of a, again, as I call it, a realistic, a darker look to it, because this is, the Suicide Squad's always been more of a darker, a grittier look at superheroes, if you will. So, again, some pages, I think it's a little too dark for me. It's a little hard to say, I don't know if it's just from the ears, or if that's just the way it is, but some of the panels get a little too dark for me, and it's because, and again, maybe because I'm getting old and it's harder to see, but overall it's not bad. So Waller says that's going to start a holy war, but make the others look like a pie fight, and that's how how Cobra is going to usher in the dawn of Age of Chaos that he wants. So she tells the Atom to get back over there and to stop Daibuk any way he can while she handles the plane. So again, Atom, as he jumps in the phone, we cut away to Bronze Tiger and Vixen, where Bronze Tiger is hauling a injured Vixen as Judith, one of the, Hyoth, comes up to him and he's like, Judith, listen, I'm not a terrorist. Like I said before, I'm willing to surrender, but this woman needs to get to medical care first. And she's like, I make no deal. I strike no bargains. You're a terrorist. Surrender or die. And Ben's all, I've been reasonable, woman. Now get out of my way or die. And so again, he starts to prepare to fight her as Judith throws a couple of throwing stars at him. They get paired for a battle while Vixen lays there bleeding out. And then we cut over to Poison Ivy and Count Vertigo as Waller's telling Ivy that she needs to wake Vertigo up out of the trance she has him in because she's been controlling him for the last few issues. And again, she's telling him, I need him to stop Cobra, I need Vertigo up to snuff, and Poison Ivy's like, I'm not sure this is advisable. He might be a bit on the crazy side, if you know what I mean, and difficult to handle. And Waller's all the better. You got to be crazy to do what I want him to do. Nope, I won't be responsible for that happens. And we cut over, and I like this here, where Waller and Ivy are talking about Vertigo, and then we cut over to Vertigo sitting with a fork in his hand. He's just sitting there staring straight ahead because, again, he's kind of a mindless mindless robot. Can't think of the word I'm looking for. But he's mindless, kind of a mindless robot right now. And, well, again, she sees through Ivy's BS quickly. She's like, I get it. You've been messing with his head, haven't you, girl? I'll deal with you later. Roust your butt, your highness. And she takes a glass of champagne or whatever and throws it in his face, slaps him upside the head, which just pisses him. He's like, ah, again, here on page 9, the great image of Count Vertigo with the fork in his hand, getting ready to attack because, you know, he's pissed off that he's been under mind control. And she's like, again, Waller's just straight to the point. Straight up, Vertigo. Ivy's been messing with you full head. She'll pay for it, but right now there's something more important that needs to be done, and only you can do it. Jets are going to destroy the Dome of the Rock. If they do, everyone dies, and only you can stop them. You hear? You have to stop the Jets. And again, he throws the fork down. He's like, silence! We comprehend the problem. We will do what needs to be done. Noblesse oblige. He's like, but we return, Ivy, purged and ready to take our revenge. And as Vertigo goes off to stop the planes, Waller's telling Ivy, you know, you better go pack and get ready to get clear, because Vertigo survives. He's got your full head on a platter. And I may give it to him. She's like, I'll find you later. And again, just a gorgeous shot of Ivy sitting here in her negligee, her house robe falling down behind her. She's watching as Waller's shutting the blinds. Great image. Anyways, back to the battle. We get the Atom coming out of the phone, and the office that Ravon and Cobra's fighting in has been demolished. And then the Atom finds himself facing off against, what's his name, Rambam? Rambam, the leader of the Hyoth. And I like this as he's sitting there talking. And we've talked about previously that supposedly Ray Palmer died, and this new Atom shows up. And Rambam's like, we've heard the death of the Atom, and here is another with those powers. Or are you the same one, raised from the dead? Explain your purpose here. And so normally this is where the member Hyoth and the Suicide Squad member, in this case the Atom, would fight. And we'd have to have them fight it out to sea. But at this point, Rambam is giving the Atom a chance to explain himself, which he starts to do. Meanwhile, we get the Jets launching their missiles at the Dome of the Rock. And as they do so, Vertigo shows up and causes the first missile to go off course and land in the mountain somewhere. And I like this image here on bottom of page 12. It's a nice image of, it's a behind shot of Vertigo with his green house coat on and just his boxer shorts, using his powers and making the planes fly out of control away from their target. It's just a nice image of the battle here. I like the way this, and they've got the concentric lines going out from the middle of the page. It's a little more top middle, going out, showing Vertigo's powers affecting everywhere around him. And as he's doing so, he's attacked by another member of the Hyoth. This one here is, I believe this is Golem, if I'm not mistaken, who can change, basically a shapeshifter, kind of like Sandman or Clayface, kind of. He's become very fluid as he engulfs Vertigo, but Vertigo uses his powers to break free of him. And again, I like this battle here that's Vertigo's trying to explain what's going on to him. And I like this. He's like, listen to me. And Golem's not even, he's like, I should listen to you. You'd only lie. And again, Vertigo, while he may be a supervillain in quotes, he's also kind of like me. He thinks he's himself a man of his word, and his word is his bond. So again, when Golem, you know, says he's going to lie, Vertigo's like, you doubt our word? As he, you know, he's like, bruh, as he uses his powers to kind of free himself from Golem. Golem's like, you're a terrorist. And here on page, 14, Vertigo starts flying away. Again, uses his powers. He's like, we are royalty. And I'll be damned if I let anyone impugn our honor. And again, as we leave Vertigo fighting against both Golem and the Jets, we cut over to Rambam talking to Dabuk. And he confronts him. He's like, we have monitored the conversation. You, of course, deny the allegations. And again, so basically at this point, Rambam and Dabuk's having a conversation. And Dabuk being a computer simulation or an AI, basically Rambam pulls out some logic on him, which kind of stops him for a moment. He's like, you have monitored the conversation. You, of course, deny the allegations. And Daibuk's like, yes, how do you choose which to believe? And Ramban's all, by a simple question, where's Cobra right now, Daibuk? And Daibuk is, I am uncertain. He could be. And Ramban's like, that's not a good answer. You know where he is or you do not know. A simple inquiry, a binary answer, huh? You don't want to answer, so you waffle. That means you're lying, which means what our friend says to you is true. And he tells the Atom to leave because he's going to enter into a dialogue, as he calls it, with Daibuk and find a way to reason with him. If he fails, the world falls through the gate of Darth into the abyss. You understand? And the Atom's like, no, but I'll take your word for it. Good luck. And so he goes off to find Ravon and Cobra as we cut back to the fight between Judith and Ben. Ben's creating a nice page here on page 15, this lower half of the page, where Ben's just kicking her upside the head. Meanwhile, Vix and Mari is behind him. Ben, stop, please. Not for my sake, but yours. Or you'll make what she says of you true. And she starts to pass out again. And again, Ben's about ready to take her out. Because again, Ben, as we've talked about before, he is a killer, in quotes. He's been trained to be a killer. So killing for him isn't such a big deal. Depends on his mindset. But again, with Mari there to bring him back to reason, he goes up to Judith and he's like, medical assistance first, surrender later, please. And so Judith sees that, you know, Ben has her on the ground. He has her at a disadvantage and he's not pressing it. So she realized that he may be a little more honorable than she was led to believe. So she agrees to it. And reading these stories, it just makes me angry is not the right word. It's a little too harsh, but it makes me annoyed that we've had two Suicide Squad movies and neither one is focused on, had Ben or Vixen in it. I mean, they changed Deadshot to be played by Will Smith because he wanted a black character in it. They've got some great black characters here. Right here, I'm reading this very issue that they're neglecting in the DCU. And it just, I really wish we could, because Ben's a great hero. He's a great character. Again, he's not just a hero. I mean, he's been a quotes a villain. He's gone back and forth, but they could have definitely used Ben in that movie as sort of the go-between. And Vixen's another hero that's working with the Suicide Squad, a person of color. It's a great character, very reminiscent of Animal Man, but a little bit different. Mainly how she gets her powers. I mean, she is very much a female version of Animal Man. Not to knock her, she's a great character in her own right. But I digress. Let's get back to the story. So again, we cut back to Daibuk and Ramban as they're talking. And again, they're basically just, as I said, he's using reason with Daibuk to try to get him to realize that maybe he's not following the right path. So again, I do like that instead of fighting, again, the Atom got to Ramban just through talking, and now Ramban is talking to Daibuk and trying to get him to reason his way out of the situation they're in. I just love this. And again, this is very wordy, but it's not just words to be thrown out willy-nilly, if you will. Again, it's very logical and it's very thought-provoking. What Ramban is trying to get Daibuk here to realize that if he is a sentient being, as it were, he has to make action for the consequence of his own actions, and he needs to do the right thing, and, you know, the difference between moral and immoral. It's just a great dialogue. I definitely suggest, if you haven't read this book, that go back and read it, just for Ramban and Daibuk's dialogue alone. But we come back to the Atom. And he finally finds Ravon and Cobra fighting. And as they're fighting, Cobra gets the upper hand. And he's about ready to blast Ravon with his staff. Or bash him, I guess. He's like, so much for your vow to slay me, puny mongoose. And he's about ready to bash him. All of a sudden, the Atom just turns big and shrinks back down. Again, I love how he's shrinking back and forth, just like Ray used to do. He punches him in the jaw, then shrinks down to leap out of the way of the blast of his staff. Again, leaps into his face, knocking him out. And he's knocked Cobra out, and he picks up the staff. He's like, too bad, Cobra. I'd almost like to hit you again. And about this point, Ravon comes crawling forward. Do it. Kill him. If not, let me stand aside. My destiny. My karma. And Ray knocks the dagger out of Ravon's hand. He's like, I'll do neither, Ravon. I won't do your dirty work for you. If you think I'm going to give you your hatred, it's satisfaction, you're dead wrong. And Cobra's Revan's laying there. Fool, the world will have cause to curse you for a thousand years. Even as I, Revan, curse you in the name of Kali, I die unfulfilled. And here on the bottom of page 20, just a nice shot of Cobra as Revan, as he dies, the life snuffed out of him by the fight with Cobra. And the Atoms just in there watching as he dies. Because again, not much you can really do at this point because of the battle. The only thing he could have done was stand aside and let Revan kill Cobra before he died. But again, God bless it. The Atom being a superhero is not going to do that. And then we cut back to Daibouk and Rambam's conversation. And again, it comes down to Daibouk's like, I must confess, I am uncertain. This morality is very confusing, very complex. And again, so Rambam Yuzay's like, then perhaps you should hold off any further actions while you formulate an ethical response. To do what is to do is good. To know why to do it is better. And again, it's kind of like I work, as I may have mentioned before, I work for the IRS, and I'm currently a manager there. And even like as an instructor or a manager or a lead, when I work cases or I talk to my employees, I like to explain to them why we do things, not just, well, this is what, you know, our instructions tell us to do, but I like to let them know why and how it affects the taxpayer, how it affects the government. Because if they understand why they're doing something, they're more liable or more apt to be willing to do it. And it makes it a little easier for them to do it if it's, well, this is why we're doing this, instead of just, well, because I said so, this is why you have to do it. So that's kind of the stance that Rambam's taking here, that, you know, to do something or not do something is good enough, but isn't it better to know why you're doing it? And meanwhile, we cut back over and we see the plane's taking off as Daibouk gets in touch with Golem and tells him he's made an error, break off the attack as the planes are leaving the attack. I like this. I don't know if this is Danny Glover playing the part, but Golem's like, oh, I'm getting too old for this. It looks like he's carrying an unconscious Vertigo with him. And then basically we're on the last page where we get kind of a wrap up. We get Amanda talking to the Colonel, and she's like, all well's end, huh, Colonel? And the Colonel's upset. He's like, huh, so you say, Waller. You don't have to explain the explosions in around Jerusalem last night. The Mossad will pay for Ms. McCobb's hospital expenses and for shipping Ravon's remains to India. As per your instructions, your suicide squad performed admirably, but we want you out of Israel in 12 hours. And as he turns away, kind of upset that, you know, how things turned out, Amanda's like, nice to meet you too, Colonel. And then we get Rambam just kind of giving us a follow-up on everything. He said nothing about the Atom being there. So again, the Atom's kind of a secret weapon at this point that no one knows is still around. We find out that Daibouk has learned the value of questioning what he does. So now he questions everything and does nothing. So again, that's another reason why the Colonel is upset, is because they've got this weapon they can use, but due to the squad's involvement and Rambam talking to him, he now questions everything, which again, when you question everything, sometimes that can lead you to indecision because you're trying to find out the right thing to do. And again, I have that problem at times. I know I've talked with a buddy of mine at work, and we talked about the whole, you know, is the glass half empty or half full. Well, I'm the type, I need to know more information. Are you pouring the water into it? Are you emptying the water out? Are you drinking it? What's going on with the water in the cup? That'll determine my answer. I need more information. And that's causing me a lot of problems at home and work and what have you, because I need information to make a proper decision. And so that's kind of where Daibouk is at, but he's questioning everything. So again, when you question things, sometimes it causes you to be inactive and not do anything. We find out the Cobra's confined within a jail again, this time with magical constraints. That's not so easy for him to get away. And so Rambam thanks Waller, you know, and says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And as she's getting ready to leave, a guard comes up. He's like, Miss Waller, there's a phone call from the airport. And Mr. Harkness and Mr. Lawton wants to know if you're staying a limo for them. They've now arrived. And I like as the story ends, she's like, tell them to sit tight, soldier. The team's leaving. I can't wait to hear why they're so late. I got one dead, one fled, and one laid up in the hospital bed. I could use a laugh. So again, we got one dead, which is Revan, one fled, which I believe is Poison Ivy, and one laid up in the hospital bed, which would be Mari, a.k.a. Vixen. And then we get the end. So again, a great story. Again, it's very much of a darker story like Suicide Squad tends to be, both the art and the story itself. But great story. Again, I love that they're using the Atom in it because the Atom's one of my favorite characters. So, and in the letters page, speaking of, there's some people talking about the new Atom. One person in here is saying that they're thrilled to discover that Ray Palmer joined the cast after hearing what happened to his late lamented Power of the Atom mag, which, again, if you're following along on Head Speaks, you've still got another, I think, 8 episodes to go to find out about that. It makes sense he wants to start over completely. Again, we're not going to say anything more about that at this point. We'll save any spoilers. But the editor on this is like, hey, Larry, who said Ray Palmer will be joining the squad? We said it was a new Atom, okay? The new Atom, again, new in quotes, or in capital letters. The new Atom, not the boring old regular ex-Justice League leader who's dead. So we're about him, okay? And then someone else is saying that it's great to see the Atom active in comics again. He wouldn't quite fit with the new league. In the revised DC continuity, Ray Palmer must be getting on in years. Well, because at this point, over in Green Lantern, Hal has gray streaks and Oliver's over 40, they've mentioned. And so, again, they're referring to Ray Palmer in further issues. I see a meetup between Ray and his ex-wife, Jean. And again, the editor's like, now hear this. This wasn't Ray Palmer. Didn't you read the first page? It said he was dead. So he's dead. Dead, dead. This is one of our strangest jobs a guy can have. So again, so they're still kicking around. Is this Ray Palmer? Is this a new guy? Because again, a lot of people seem to think that Ray's death was faked. And that's who this Atom is. So we've got a little bit longer before we find out the mystery of who this Atom really is. But again, I remember where it ends up, and I'm enjoying the ride. I'm enjoying the reread of this. Again, I haven't read these since I first got them many years ago. Again, I love the artwork in this book. I don't want all my superhero books to look this way, because again, it's a very dark and very, it's a much darker and grittier look, but I think it's perfect for the Suicide Squad. I think it's a great look for it, and it's fantastic. And again, John Ostrander and Kim Yell does some fantastic work as far as writing this goes. So it's fantastic. But that's going to cover it for this month. Again, if you like what I'm doing here, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/headcastnetwork.com. Throw a few bucks in the tin. You can join our friends like Gene Hendricks and Mark Ross, a.k.a. Cluck Trent, who are both Patreon supporters. They're both helping support the show. I thank you guys very much for supporting us. And again, join them. Also, join us over on Facebook, facebook.com/headcastnetwork. Throw in a discussion, throw in your comments. Did you like this issue? What'd you think about it? Also, how do you think I'm doing on the coverage of it? Please let me know. I'm always open to suggestions on way to improve the show or things you like that I'm doing. Let me know. You can also send an email to taskforcex@headcastnetwork.com. And if I get an email from you guys, I can read them on the air. And check out my other shows. I've got Head Speaks, where I'm currently looking at the Power of the Atom. That's the main one I'm going to promote this time, because again, I'm looking at Power of the Atom and the Atoms in this book. Maybe a different Atom. I don't know. We'll see. And check out my other shows. I've got G.I. Joe, a Real American Headcast. I've got the Starman Adventure Show. The wife and I are still doing Voyager's Cast and the Starbright Project, looking at Voyager's, again, the 1982 TV show, not the Star Trek show, and the new Quantum Leap TV series. Check out all the great shows on the network and let me know what you think. If you're interested in G.I. Joe, I do a Facebook group just for that, which is facebook.com/groups/G.I. Joe. And usually the fourth Sunday of the month, we record our episodes for G.I. Joe over on YouTube. You can check those at youtube.com/@g.i.joe_headcast. Go over there and check that out and let me know what you think. So until next month, squad mates dismissed.
Thank you for listening to another great episode of Task Force X. I can also be found rambling on my main headcast of Head Speaks, where I rant and rave about movies, comics, geek stuff, and whatever is bugging me.
Mate, you just out crazy the Joker.
Well, I tried, Boomer, but anyways, my home on the internet is at headspeaks.com. headspeaks.com. Links to my blog, which contain follow-up information to this and every headcast, can be found there. Both Task Force X and Headspeaks are on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at headspeaks.com under Headcasts. Please feel free to email me any questions, comments, or concerns to taskforcex@headspeaks.com. And if you want to record a message, you can send it to me at taskforcex@headspeaks.com, and I'll play it on the air. I'm also on Facebook at Task Force X, and also on Google Plus, you can look for Task Force X under People and Pages. All titles and characters discussed are owned and copyrighted by DC Comics. I claim no ownership to the Suicide Squad, Checkmate, or Task Force X. I'm just a big fan wanting to spread the Task Force X love with everyone else. DC Comics can be found on the web at dccomics.com. Be sure to visit your local comic shop and look for Suicide Squad and Checkmate Comics. And while you're there, see what else they have that may interest you.
Mother.
Well, make sure you join us here next time for another fun-filled headcast from your friendly neighborhood, Brother Head. In the meantime, I'll see you in the funny pages.
Yippee!